Gee, hello there, and welcome to the Fox Den. Nistu anagok biksipidaki. I am Andrea Truejoy Fox, your host for Talks with a Fox. I'm happy you have joined me on this colorful adventure of self-discovery and lifelong learning. Throughout my journey, I have met some amazing human beings who are living inspirational and intentional lives as they fulfill their purpose and share their gifts with the world. I am excited to share these conversations with you, as well as some stories from my life as a Blackfoot woman, Nitsitabiaki, and as a teacher and artist who is navigating through this exciting and beautiful world we live in, challenges and all. So grab a tea or coffee and get ready to feel inspired as you reflect on your own exciting journey and your connection to the world. We are in this together, and there is so much for us to learn and share. Let's do this. Be sure to stop by our Instagram page at Talks with the Fox Podcast and our Facebook page as well at Talks with the Fox Podcast, and of course, our Buzzsprout website. And that way, you can always keep up with all the updates. It means so much to me that you are on this journey with us.
Oki, idamik sitsigek sitsigo, nistu anagok biksipidaki. Hi, everybody. It's me, your host, Andrea of Talks with the Fox Podcast. Today, I have a very lovely special guest who has done some very incredible things throughout her communities, as well as on a national level, and she is just helping to continue to nurture up-and-coming entrepreneurs and so much more. I have the lovely Sunshine Tanasco, who is from the beautiful community Gitagan Zibi. And as some of you may remember, we also had a guest on here not long ago who is also from that community. We had the lovely Maya Beaudry of Gookum Scrunchies. And I'm sure some of you are making those lovely connections of the whole wonderful, most recent Powwow Pitch 2020 competition that we had. And we get to hear all about that from Sunshine, as well as the book that she's written and her incredible business that is about promoting awareness around clean drinking water for First Nations communities. So with that beautiful introduction there, hello, Oki. Welcome, Sunshine. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. Just so excited to talk to you today and hear about your journey. I have just seen the wonderful things that you've been doing, but I also know there's always a story behind everything. So I'd love to hear all about where life has taken you and how you came about creating these wonderful endeavors and businesses, and also how they connect to the communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where do you want me to start?
Okay. First of all, let's go back a little bit. I first remember hearing about Her Braids. My understanding that you established that in 2015, but can you tell us about Her Braids? What does the work involve? What is Her Braids about?
Yeah. So it started out just because a water pipe broke in Gatineau, Quebec, and they were announcing it every hour on the local radio station in Ottawa. And there was such an outpouring of, you know, of people calling in, writing in. People didn't know what a boil water advisory was. And there was such a sense of urgency to this street. It was one of the main streets, but literally one street, and I guess the surrounding neighborhood, where the water was affected. And so the city of Gatineau went in and dug up all the sidewalks and paved roads. And within a couple of months, it was fixed and everybody had clean drinking water. That sort of shook me to my core, because 40% of our community, which is literally touching a French town of Maniwaki, where everyone has clean access in the French town, and our community, 40%, still don't have clean drinking water. And so, basically it started because I got really pissed off that why isn't there a sense of urgency when it's happening to, you know, our communities? And to be honest, at the time, I didn't know much about it only because I said, well, what about our community? And then, so I started this, what was supposed to be a 9-month fundraiser with the David Suzuki Foundation. A project that they call the Blue Dot Movement, which aims to make clean drinking water a human right in Canada. It was supposed to be 9 months with them to create these beaded pendants, to make them and to make them as conversation starters. So, you know, whenever someone would wear them, it would just be an interesting, you know, create these moments where if someone said, oh, that's an interesting pendant because it has, you know, it's a mixture of beadwork, traditional beadwork and sort of modern materials. Where did you get it? And just to spark that moment to say, actually, it's a pendant to, you know, to talk about clean drinking water. And that was sort of where it started. And then it grew, obviously, into workshops because I had given baby moccasin workshops in my previous project. And so then I started going around giving workshops all over the place. And I didn't even advertise them. I just sort of posted it on social media and then was suddenly flying to Yellowknife and flying to Calgary and flying all over the place and talking about clean drinking water and really learning about how it affected so many and still does affect so many communities of our First Nations communities. And then, I wrote a children's book because, you know, we need to really talk about this. And how do you talk about things? You tell your young people and they're the ones who are really going to create the change.
Yes. Wow. That is so important. And in 2020, the fact that many of our communities, as you said, don't have access to clean drinking water is such a huge problem, epidemic, if you will. Okay, so you wrote the book, Nibi's Water Song. Did I say it right?
Yeah, Nibi. Yep.
Nibi's Water Song. Yep. Okay. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I basically just, I wrote this story. Nibi is my 14-year-old daughter's name as well, and it means water. And so I named it after her. Obviously, my other three children are not too impressed with me. but whatever, that's another project for another day.
Hey, you just have to write three more children's books with their names.
Exactly. And I also, you know, think it's so important to see, you know, cute little happy brown girls and boys on the cover of, you know, books and in public places and to see yourself doing positive things and making change. It's sounds so simple, but it's not that simple. And when you see, you know, luckily Chief Lady Bird agreed to illustrate it, and she's an amazing artist. And so we have two Indigenous women who came together with Scholastics to, you know, bring this book all across Canada and like in all the Indigo chapters. And it's a really big deal. It's a positive message about this happy little girl who can't find clean drinking water. And so she's determined and she sings her way until everyone joins in her chant and everybody works together and finds helps to find clean drinking water for everyone. And she shares.
I love that because it really is symbolic of how our women's voices are. There's a resurgence of our beautiful voices in leadership and being out there, being the water warriors and carrying these messages and really making the world aware of what is going on in our communities. And I just love that. And what a beautiful name. Yeah. Your daughter must feel incredibly honored.
She does. She does.
And so you have four beautiful babies. Mm-hmm. How old are they?
So my oldest is 20 and my youngest is 8.
Oh, wow. So, that's a great age range because you've got help there.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. So I guess I could. Yeah. So 20, 14. Oh, my God. I should know this. 11 and 8. Like, wait a second. I'm missing one.
It's okay because Sunshine, you're out there saving the world. So I'm sure they'll forgive you.
Oh,
Wow. But that is incredible. That in itself is such a huge and important job, as being a mother. And now you're raising these four children who are going to be the next generation of educators and creating awareness and artists. And yeah, that's amazing. I always love hearing that, how our motherhood is connected to the work that we do. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is a social entrepreneur?
Yeah, so I actually didn't even know what that was either until everyone started introducing me and labeling me as that. So and what's funny is you know, it's an entrepreneur we know is a person who, you know, starts a business or, you know, all that stuff. And a social entrepreneur is someone who does it like with good intent or to help and in some way that they feel they need to help. So what I found with Powwow Pitch is a social entrepreneur is not real. It's not an indigenous term, right? But
yeah,
in all of the pitch competitions that I've been lucky to be a part of, because obviously sometimes I get called in to be a judge in other non-indigenous pitch competitions, and I get to be a part of this sort of entrepreneurial atmosphere. Every year we see at Powwow Pitch that most of our participants are naturally social entrepreneurs. There's always an element of giving back, whether it's giving back with knowledge, whether it's giving back with resources, whether it's giving back with mentorship, or whether it's giving back as in creating employment opportunity within their communities. There's always something social about it. So I think it's just naturally ingrained in us and how we do everything, whether it's, you know, we say potlucks over here, out west, it's the potlatch, it's the same sort of idea. It's just how we do. It's, you know, giving your offering before you take a medicine from a tree. It's putting down your tobacco if you go hunting, and it's the same sort of idea. So I think it's just naturally ingrained, and it's just a term that other people use.
So fitting too for everything that you're doing. And I love that. And I love how you connect it to many of our cultures, indigenous cultures, how that giving back, reciprocity. I mean, I just love that. When you think about it, yeah, we're not really individual minded people. We are always thinking of the collective, even in our individual pursuits. And you really represent that well, Sunshine. Okay, so your book, tell me, when you started to write that, what was that like? Was it challenging? Was it just the storyline came to you and everything just flowed? What was that like to write your first book?
So what happened there? Well, first of all, I always sort of thought I should write a book, but I never knew what kind. I didn't think it was going to be a children's book. I didn't know what it was going to be. But then when I would go give workshops, because it's grade 4 and up usually, teachers would always say, well, do you have anything for younger kids? And in that short amount of time where I'm teaching people how to be, just the dexterity, it's just more time consuming for younger kids. And so I remember so many teachers asking, I really wish you had something for grades 1 and 2 and 3. And I said, you know, I think I could write a book. And that was pretty much it. I sat down one day and I started one draft, and it was going in a completely different direction, and I couldn't finish it. It just wouldn't let me, like, I couldn't figure it out, the story. Like, I really had to think about it. And then I said, I'm going to scratch that, and I'm just going to do this other book where, you know, this little girl is singing, and it literally just flowed out. And it happened so quickly, and I wasn't even sure if it was a good book. So I put it away for a week and then read it again. And I was like, that is a cute book that I would read to my kids every night. Like, that is a freaking cute book. Yeah. And so fast forward, it had been a couple of months and I didn't really do anything with it. It was just there on my laptop. And I was stuck in, I showed up to the Calgary airport like 5 hours too early by accident. I don't know how that happens, but whatever. And I was on like the international side, and I didn't, all that to say, I just had nothing to do, and all my work was done, and nobody wanted to FaceTime me, and there was nothing more for me to possibly do. And I said, oh, I'm going to see if I can send that book to Scholastics and we'll see what they say. And that was pretty much it. I was lying on airport chairs and I tossed off an email. I found an email on, I don't even remember where, maybe their website. And I just said, you know, I have this really important book. And I think that this character needs to come alive because of this. And I started this project called Her Braids. Check us out here. And I think this is important. And every Canadian, let alone every Indigenous person who's living it, but needs to hear this and see this. And I would love to chat. And that was it. She sent me an email and said, we'd love to see it. Send what you have. Send a manuscript.
Wow. I love that. And that is just taking charge of your own, really of your own journey. And I think that speaks to what we do as Indigenous women. You know, we won't wait. If somebody's not moving along with us, or if we're sometimes out there and it feels like we're out there on our own, we'll just still do it and we'll create an opportunity and we'll go ahead and realize what it is we envision. And I love the story, behind your book. And yes, for the teachers that are listening to this podcast, because I know a lot of teachers tune into this, and this is a book, if you don't have it on your bookshelf, if you better order it and get several copies, because it is such an important, powerful, and educational story. I love that. And speaking of, you started out on your entrepreneurial journey. I watched you on Dragon's Den, and that was about what?
Yeah,
10
my
years
boy,
ago or
the,
so.
My boy is 11 now. First started out? He turned 11 in April.
Okay. I love that you walked out and you had your baby in hand and you were pitching to them, and just, wow, you Aww. Are a true Wonder Woman, sunshine. Okay. So what you knew then and what you did then and where you are now you're the CEO of Powwow Pitch, and you are helping other up and coming Indigenous entrepreneurs to establish themselves or start on their journey in entrepreneurship. What do you wish you knew then that you know now?
The only thing that I wish I would have known was to trust the process and be gentle with myself. I don't know if that's an age thing, though. You know, I was 30-ish back then, and everything is supposed to happen as it was supposed to happen. I was supposed to fail my first business. I was supposed to take those lessons and learn and pass it on. And I was supposed to, all the, you know, hard stuff that was supposed to happen so that all this other good stuff can happen now. And I think I was really hard on myself back then because I wanted, you know, you want your first business to succeed, and you want, you know, And because I was for a moment in the spotlight, I guess, in Indian country, because how many brown people do you see on national television back then? You know, this is pre-Trickster. This is pre mm-hmm. all this good stuff that's happening now. And so there was a lot of media attention, and I wasn't prepared and was super hard on myself unnecessarily.
And now, though, you can share that with others who are coming up in their journeys. That's the beauty of it. You get to take that wisdom and that experience and those lessons and help the next generation of Indigenous entrepreneurs mm-hmm. coming up.
Yeah, I know. It is a gift, and it's easier to talk about it now because all of that chapter's a couple of chapters ago now, and so and I've learned to be gentle mm-hmm. with myself and to set boundaries. It's been a process, but again, also I also think that that's age as well.
Yes, I would agree with that. If you look at our elders, right, what they're teaching us are things they had to go through, some of their hardships and their lessons in life, and now they get to teach us and share that with us. So I don't know if it would necessarily say that it makes our journey easier, but more mm-hmm. maybe it prepares mm-hmm. us more.
Yep, I agree with that.
Okay, so where do you get your best ideas? Because Sunshine, you're full of ideas and you have established yourself and you have achieved in various areas and had success. So where do you get your best ideas?
That
where do you feel
is
most
such
inspired?
I often get asked that question and I don't know, to be honest. And it's always at a different, it's always different people. And they don't even know that they're triggering that in me in a good way. You know, we can be having a workshop and laughing around and someone says something and I'm like, wow, like, you just blew my mind and you didn't even know it. It could be a quiet dinner, you know, or dinner with my family and my children, and someone will say something and it'll just like, I didn't think of it that way. And maybe we should do this. I don't think there's a certain way, but I do know that when I am more relaxed, I find things easier to create.
I think that's probably one of the most important things about creating, is being relaxed and mm-hmm. being present and in the moment. I'm glad you shared that. That's a good reminder for myself and for anyone else out there listening who, you know, likes to explore their creativity, is to always mm-hmm. make sure we're in a relaxed state. Powwow Pitch was established in 2016. Is that right? You started about 4 years ago? 5 years ago. Okay. So what have you seen over just this 5-year window? How have you seen it grow since you started?
Oh, wow. I'm proud of so many things about this project. It started out because I wanted to do it. I absolutely didn't get paid to do it. I just thought it was so important because of what Dragons Den gave to me, and how that changed my whole life path, and how this one specific dragon, Brett Wilson, really believed in me and would check in on me on the regular and would call me partner and would, you know, really just gave me so many opportunities when he didn't have to do that. And so that's where the idea of, like, I really need to pay this forward. And how, if this one thing, this one day really changed my life, can't we have this in Indigenous communities? And why can't we? And who's going to do it? And, well, nobody's doing it, so I guess I'm going to try and do it. And, you know, it started out really small, super not professional, just with like printed handouts at the powwow here, at the biggest powwow in Ottawa. And, you know, people showed up. And the next year I got a little bit of funding, not a lot, to be able to give all these prizes. And so every year it's been like slowly but steadily gaining momentum, and things that were very hard at the beginning suddenly became less hard because I had done them before, because people were willing to help, my role in being clear. So really you're just making something up in your mind and figuring out, okay, so how do I do this? I have no clue. Your guess is as good as mine, really. And yet here we are. And so this year was a really big jump for us because, pre-COVID, I decided that I wanted to take it, across Canada. And so I was going to go to the 5 biggest powwows in Canada and go basically do everything that I do in Ottawa and rinse and repeat and rinse and repeat and do that. And then COVID happened. And so all of that, you know, got flushed down the toilet. But the hugest silver lining was that all our sponsors pivoted with us and said, yeah, you can absolutely do it online if you think that you're capable. It sounds super easy just to put things online, but the logistics of that and producing of it, it was a completely different role and something that I wasn't prepared for, because it was very different in executing that than it was for all the other physically in-person powwow pitches that, you know, I had organized before. But I loved it. I was able to give away way more prize money. And I think be a part of, you know, their stories, a tiny weensy part, and to, you know, give people like put the spotlight on these amazing Indigenous entrepreneurs that maybe we wouldn't have been able to meet if we were just in 5 physical locations. So I'm really proud that, you know, this year was, you know, people watched and people participated, and that's it.
I loved watching it. I was enjoying hearing the stories behind the businesses, and that takes a lot of confidence, and it's a risk to put yourself out there, and let alone on a live national platform, if you will. And just how you describe your original way of doing things, I think, yeah, with COVID, it's provided certain businesses or a lot of businesses with different ways of doing things, new ways of doing things, but also some really great opportunities. And so you think that because you put it online, you were able to get more competitors who were able to access the competition. Is that right?
I can't be certain, but I think we got them from different regions that, you know, if we were, would we have, you know, had someone from Iqaluit? Probably not, because where are the powwows located? So I think we were able to reach people that, you know, otherwise wouldn't have ever had the opportunity. And that was special.
Absolutely. And your judging panel, your judges panel, I really enjoyed hearing their questions. And I didn't find them very intimidating because I thought it's great to have people there and to be able to assess your work, but to do it in a way that is inviting and welcoming, because I'm sure the people that are pitching, as you know, when you were on Dragon's Den, is I'm sure that's probably a little bit nerve-wracking to say the least. But I really appreciated how your judges communicated with all the contestants.
Yeah, I did too. We feel very fortunate that they committed so many hours. And, you know, behind the scenes, which obviously like people may have heard about but didn't get to witness, is that RBC sent a whole bunch of mentors. So before they even pitched, they got, you know, a couple of hours from really, you know, business people on how to help them pitch and just to build their confidence up before. So there was a lot of good stuff happening behind the scenes as well to prepare. And, you know, because we know it is nerve-wracking and we know you're putting yourself out there and it's not just at a powwow. Honest, it's like you're putting yourself out there and your dreams, and it's hard, but we hope it's worth it.
Yes, exactly. I just love that. And it's really championing everybody, because obviously not everybody will walk away with a monetary prize, but I just saw so much come out of that. Okay, so how did you come up with the term Her Braids? I just want to go back to that because I was looking at your website. And by the way, I love all the jewelry and I love the names also. And I think they all represent the way each piece of jewelry is uniquely designed, the beadwork. How did you come up with Her Braids?
Yeah, so in our teachings, I'm Anishinaabe. And when you're braiding your hair for a circle, ceremony, whatever, powwow, you take three equal strands of hair, or three like clumps of hair. And so when you're braiding, you know, when you're overlapping, you say to yourself, one strand represents the mind, another strand represents the body, and the other strand represents the spirit. And so you say, mind, body, spirit, mind, body, spirit, mind, body, spirit, over and over and over again while you're doing your braids. And so when you're about to enter circle, all three aspects of you as a human being are stronger and better together. And so, you know, we have the little boy drum, the little boy water drum, and we need water for all aspects of us as human beings. And so that's sort of where the clean water, that's where it came in. And so, yeah, it just sort of made sense at the time. And then I know a lot of people were like, well, what about his braids? And I'm like, you know what? It's too late. It's out there.
I love the yes, Her Braids.
Yay, good. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. And do you create the jewelry? Do you do the beadwork, or is that a collective?
I used to at the beginning when we first launched, and now it's a collective, and I don't do them as often, just because I don't have to.
Yeah. Wow. By the way, I wanted to say that I loved your energy on Dragon's Den, and just I could see the passion in your eyes. So it doesn't surprise me that fast forward to 2020, here we are, here you are. And, you know, I just see you continuing to go on to do more groundbreaking work that is going to really ultimately support our communities on a worldwide, global. It's incredibly important work that you're doing, and I love the give back of it. Back to Her Braids. I love the jewelry line. I love the message behind it. And I was just thinking about the Nivi's water song. Just in the descriptor here, I'm just going to quickly read it here. Nivi is the Anishinaabemowin word for water. In Nivi's water song, an indigenous girl on the search for clean water to drink, though she is faced with repeated obstacles, Nivi's joyful and determined energy becomes a catalyst for change and action as her community, and then in widening circles, the country and government rally around her to make clean drinking water available for all. I just love that, because I was thinking of you as I was reading that. I reread it again and I was like, that is sunshine. You know, what you're doing, your work is so important and powerful, and there's community rallying around you. And I'm so, after seeing Dragon's Den and then meeting you now, and I'm just so grateful that you did continue on with your journey, and the obstacles I'm sure that you encountered along the way have only made you stronger and wiser. And here you are now, though, helping to open doors for other Indigenous people, entrepreneurs, but people in general, because we all should have clean drinking water. And yeah, so I love your story and I love the message behind it. And I think it's symbolic of who you are too in the world.
Thank you. That's very, very nice.
Tell me about your name, Sunshine, your beautiful name.
Yeah. So my mom, she couldn't read until she went to university. So imagine going to university, not knowing how to read. This is the powerhouse, the matriarch that raised me. And she registered because she wanted to be a teacher. And the only book that she had ever read before she went to university was a book called Sunshine. And she was able to sort of understand it and read it. And she always said, whenever I have a baby, I'm calling her Sunshine. And then the day she went into labor, my auntie said, go get your sunshine. And she didn't even know I was going to be a girl or a boy or nothing. And that was it. Here I am.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Wow. And so fitting, because, I mean, there we go. That's why the airport and everything goes off, because you are that bright light. You're creating awareness wherever you go. That's powerful. So beautiful. And well, your mom knew, she knew exactly who you were going to be coming into this world. Powerful, beautiful. And it sounds like you come from a strong, long line of strong women, mm-hmm. Indigenous women.
Mm-hmm.
I got lost in your story there. I literally was in the hospital seeing it. Like, that's just how I am. When someone tells me a story, I literally, like, in my mind, I go with them as they're telling me the story. So
I love it.
Yeah. I actually had a student that I taught in grade one, and her name was Sunshine. So you're the second Sunshine that I've ever met, and such a wonderful name. And she was such a smart little girl. She was quite quiet, but she was very, very smart. And anyways, you made me think of her. So thank you for that memory.
Aww, that's nice.
Well, my dear, we are going to move into the final four here. And this is where I get to ask you pretty much anything, and just keeping it on the light, fun side. But I could ask you for your social security number. Just kidding.
You can try. Go for it.
And the rule of the game is you get to answer anything.
Exactly.
Okay. And by the way, these are questions, I don't really pre-draft them. I like to just kind of, as I get to know who I'm talking with and things that they share, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is a question to ask them. So are you ready, Sunshine?
I am ready as I'll ever be.
Okay. I promise this won't be as nerve-wracking as Dragon's Den.
Okay, good.
Although I'm just going to say, you really look like you had it all together and you were just like, yeah, you know, this is my product. Here I am.
Oh, good. I didn't, in fact, have it all together.
Okay. Since you are such an incredibly busy superwoman here, what do you do? And you mentioned it earlier, and that's why I was able to generate this question. What do you do to relax in your time that you have for yourself?
I make time to go, you know, visit friends. I mean, it's obviously different right now because of COVID. But before, when all my children were in school, one day a week, I have another friend who's an entrepreneur and businesswoman. And so once a week, we would just say, Monday mornings, we're going to skate. And, you know, because she has three kids and I have four kids, and we'd just go and skate. And then we'd go eat breakfast after we'd skate. Or, you know, next week, we're going to go downhill skiing during the day and just, you know, make time while the kids are in school and make that a priority. And so now it's obviously a little bit different. You know, I try and exercise, not a lot every day, but, you know, get the blood flowing for, you know, 25, 30 minutes every day. But, and it just helps, it helps to just breathe. But I have really good humans in my life. You know, I also think the older you get, the more you, you set your, what you need from other humans and what you're willing to give to other humans in relationships. And I really have a beautiful friend and family group who are all incredibly supportive and kind. And I think that, you know, when you've created a life and you surround yourself with good people, it's a pretty good position to be in. And I feel very, very lucky. And I don't take it for granted at all or ever. 'Cause I know that, you know, the realities of other people who have like real jobs, it's very different. So I think I think I'm just pretty lucky where my path has taken me.
I love that. And that you skate, and wow, I haven't heard that one. I think that's really awesome. And you do it with one of your girlfriends, and wow, I'm taking notes here, but I don't skate. So
yeah, but it's just what you like to do, right?
Yeah, but I love that. And I think it's so important as a woman, as a mother, as a business person, as an entrepreneur, to make that time too for yourself. And I know they're also very lucky to have you in their lives as well, all your wonderful, beautiful humans. Okay, next one here. This got me thinking based off of that question. Okay, so now you're going to carve out a little more time in your life. What is your next dream vacation spot?
My next dream, Bora Bora, for sure.
Okay, that was a pretty fast one. Yeah. Wow.
Next question. Done.
Bags are packed. She's gone.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Again, going back to your book, Nibi's Water Song. What do you want the next generation of Indigenous leaders to know?
Oh, geez, that is a very, very big question. I just want them to know that they are important and valued and loved.
Beautiful. As a teacher, I love that too. Yes, our children and our, they need to know that. Mm-hmm. Okay, last one here. Doing the work that you do, Her Braids, being an author, powwow pitch, and everything else that encompasses who you are as a person, as a woman, as a leader. How has that changed how you think?
Oh, geez, it absolutely empowered me. You know, I think a lot of us, you know, we're in maybe not so supportive relationships where, you know, we're told you can't do that, or, you know, maybe not a relationship, but someone has told you, and maybe not even with malicious intent, but just because of their own barriers where they are in their mind saying that this is impossible, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. And overcoming all of that and to be able to do things in a good way has really empowered me to know that people can create their own life. And sometimes it's scary. It's not sometimes scary. It's always scary. Every single new project, you know, I actually have another book coming down the pipe in the next little while. And because Nibi's Water Song did so well, you know, this fake bar that I set for myself, because no one else is setting this bar, I was like, oh my God, what if this next book isn't as good? And oh my, you know, so there's always a little bit of being scared or self-doubt for a moment. And to say, you know what? And that's okay. If it doesn't do as well, does it really matter if two people like it or three people like it? Or it doesn't matter, because the point is you want to get this story out there. And so, you know, pressing send and putting yourself out there again is always hard. But knowing that you're creating your own life, like, do I want to stop at one book? No, I don't. I'd like to write another book. So I did. And it's going to happen again. And it's just really been accepting how your mind works and accepting that things are scary, but you can do it anyways and create the life that you want.
Oh, so beautiful and necessary. And I'm so grateful for what you just shared, and because we all need that. And I need those reminders. And wow, it's kind of like you're just saying all the things that go through a lot of our mind and reaffirming at the end of the day, bottom line, it's okay to have those doubts. It's okay to feel scared, but the important thing is to do it no matter what. I love that. And I really look forward to your next book. I was going to say, I'm going to already tell you in advance, I'm going to love your
book. Yay! There's the one person anyways.
Yes, you've got one vote already. Because I know where it's coming from, and it comes from your heart. It comes from who you are, and it comes from a very deep and special place. And I want to say on behalf of our communities and our women out there, thank you for doing the work that you do and for reminding us why it's important we do what we do and to continue to do what we do and believe in what we're doing. I really, from my heart to yours, sunshine, thank you. And I've really enjoyed this conversation. It's been so enriching for me on a personal note too.
Awesome. That makes me very, very happy to hear. I also love this conversation, and I love talking about these things and just being helpful in any way that I can.
Absolutely. You are living your passion and your purpose. And I know there's so much that anybody who gets a chance to learn from you and listen to you will take away a lot of things that they can apply in their own lives, regardless of their background or where they come from, or even if they're not in Canada, if they're somewhere else in the world. There's lots to appreciate about who you are as a human being. And I just want to say in closing here, sunshine, this is the icing on the cake. And it's so amazing how it just aligned, having Maya on Gookum Scrunchies. And then next week, we'll be having Sister Sage, Lynn Marie Angus. And then your episode will be rolling out right after hers. And I didn't plan it that way. I just, as I started to learn about you ladies and see the work that you do. And then I was so happy when you accepted the invitation to be on the podcast. I thought, wow, that's great.
Is awesome. I know you're in for a treat. Did you already speak to Lynn Marie?
Yes. Yeah.
She's so well spoken and just makes me very happy to hear her all the time.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Sunshine, for taking time today and for brightening up my day. And I know my listeners who are going to hear this episode and anybody else who crosses paths with you. Thank you.
Awesome. Chimigwech, and we'll talk to you again another time, I'm sure. Okay.
Okay. Good luck.
Bye.